baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Go. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Goes, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Let's get it on.
From the fight capital of the world, inside the beautiful Mandalay Bay Race and Sportsbook, you are listening to the MMA Junkie Radio Show, the only show that matters. I'm your host, Gorgeous George, and with me as always is the devious and dastardly Goes, RA's co-host. Hello, Goes.
What's up?
Not much. We always have to go through that whole, like, how you been? I mean, the guy lives with me.
We walk in together.
We walk in together, sometimes carpooling together. But this week has been that difficult week of ours because of a passing of a friend. So we've been together a lot through good and bad. And we dedicated a show to our buddy Steve Straub earlier this week, but I think we're going to dedicate this one too. So it's going to be a fun show because there's a lot of news to cover on a week that's very, very light in X's and O's. Not many really scheduled or results to update you on. Bellator out in London, we'll touch a little bit on that. There was no UFC, and of course some of the smaller promotions did have some fight cards, so we definitely will touch on one of them that's a little dear to our heart because CFFC was out in Fort Eustis in Newport News, Virginia. So buckle up. Here we go with another MMA Junkie Radio Show.
Are you a football fan? Then you don't want to miss NFL 100, a USA Today sports celebration of the NFL's 100th season.
From the best on-field performances to the draft's biggest busts, we're picking the top 100 players, moments, and teams since 1919. See if your favorites stack up to ours at usatoday.com/NFL100. I think it's fair to say that the big news of the week was probably John Jones being booked against Dominic Reyes. I mean, there's some other stuff out there, but this is the one that kind of blew up because it's going to headline a pay-per-view that the UFC's already presented to us. February 8th in Houston, the UFC presents UFC, what is it going to be, 249, I believe, and this is your main event. The UFC light heavyweight champion taking on the undefeated contender. Again, John Jones versus Dominic Reyes. UFC president shared that with ESPN on Friday. Thoughts goes on the fight.
Well, we spoke to Dan Henderson about, I think we're going on now, 2 weeks ago. And he said something that was pretty much my exact sentiments. And that's, I want to see this fight. I just wish it was taking place maybe 9 months to a year from now. So I feel like Reyes is still getting better. You know what I mean? And I just don't know that he's ready for what's ahead of. Like, I want to give him props and credit for taking on a challenge like this. Mm-hmm. A guy like John Jones, arguably one of the greatest of all time. But I don't know that right now is that particular time to do it.
So right now, I'm you'd excited. Like to plug in like Blachowicz or Corey Anderson because they're more seasoned. They might maybe not have a shiny O in the loss column, but they're more seasoned and more savvy, more experienced to maybe test Jones that way.
I think so. You know, I would hate to find out that had that fight taken place just a little bit later. Maybe we would have gotten a little different of a fight. Like, I feel like you look at everything that John Jones has gone through in his career, right, matchup wise, and he's seen it all. And I don't know that we could say that about Reyes. I don't know that we could say he's been tested with the best. He's been through this. He's been through that. And I think you have to go through that. You have to get to that moment, cut up, bruised, scars. Well, he's 6-0.
Let me present the other side. He is 6-0 in the UFC. I think like 12-0 overall. And that's the same record Israel Adesanya took into the Whittaker fight. Not the overall, but the just UFC record. So Jones has been coming off a split decision win. And then the win over Anthony Smith, he took a little bit of criticism there because he just wasn't vintage Jones. So I guess you never know. You know, and that other side, of course, is if they do give it to the other guys, then Reyes throws his hands up and says, what the hell am I doing? I'm just winning fights over here. I'm marketable in that I'm undefeated. You know, what about me? But I don't disagree with what you said. I also think Dan Henderson presented a side that was biased because, as he shared with us, Dominic Reyes stops at that gym and trains twice a week.
Which means he knows him well.
So I'm sure he likes the kid, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I get where you're going, but I don't know that we can compare Robert Whittaker and John Jones, right? Like, yes, they're both champions, but one guy is just a beast, a monster. Like, you know that guy's going in the Hall of Fame. The other one is just a really good fighter, maybe even a great fighter.
By the way, February 8th is UFC 247. 245 is just around the corner here in December, and then January 18th is 246. So I may have said 249 accidentally. It will be UFC 247 with John Jones versus Dominic Reyes. I think we went over this last week, but Valentina Shevchenko also defends versus Caitlin Chookagian. So two title fights so far. I doubt they'll have a third. Andrea Lee versus Lauren Murphy. Mersad Bektik versus Dan Ige. Ovince St. Preux versus Ryan Spahn. Would you like to see Jan Blachowicz versus Corey Anderson here to provide insurance for the main event and also prep one of those two to take on the winner of Reyes Jones? Or are you? Do you have that fear of Jones running out of potential challengers, therefore you just keep the other guys on ice? Which Corey Anderson, by the way, seems pretty content to just say, all right, I'll wait the winner of that one.
It's hard to blame him, though, right? But right. I think if you're in the business of promoting fights, that probably is a smart move to do, because this card so far that you just went through is kind of top heavy. You know, it's all about that main event. And should something happen to that, I don't know that people are going to be that stoked about everything that's left over. So I would imagine that that's probably the smart thing to do and save yourself. Know that no matter what happens, something big is going to happen there at the end. But you're right. At the same time, maybe you want both guys to do it. It all really depends, because at any moment, John Jones, you never know what he's going to say. Maybe, just maybe, there's another Daniel Cormier fight in the wings. Maybe, just maybe, he says, all right, forget it. I'm going to heavyweight. Right? You don't know what's waiting. But as far as light heavyweight goes, there's just not that many big options for him where you think he's going to make a lot of money.
This fight card still lacks, oh, I want to see that one.
Right.
The fight that has a little bit of heat between two fellas or ladies that dislike each other. You know what I mean? It needs a little bit of that pop. I think you got yourself a quality main event and co-main event. No complaints here. Two title fights. Hey, hats off to the UFC. And then, of course, I'm obviously aware that they're not done building this card, but I still want to see that featured fight have something a la Masvidal Askren, for example, this past summer.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, so there you go. H-Town fans, you got yourselves a great fight headed your way. Now, this past weekend, I think we can go back to a little bit of the X's and O's that took place this past weekend. Bellator had a fight card out in London. And the big win there goes to Michael Page in the main event. Got himself a first-round KO over Giovanni Melillo. Congratulations to him. However, Giovanni, who is the first thing? And and this guy's 16-1 overall, 12-1 in Bellator. The champ, Douglas Lima, is going, cool, not solid, but beat a ranked opponent, and then maybe I'll get a little bit more interested in fighting you. Then I go over to see who their welterweights are, and just I want to make sure I'm not missing anyone. And, man, other than Neiman Gracie and Ed Ruth, there's no one that has as impressive a record as Michael Page. And Michael Page, even though he got beat by Lima, finished by Lima, Michael Page is still a name. Bellator's not deep. Sorry, Douglas Lima. When you're stuck in Bellator, I hate to use that word, but when you're there and there's just maybe a handful of you in every division, you kind of have to take who you get. I don't know that you might be able to do that in the UFC, because each division has, like, you know, a good 10, 12 solid opponents you can kind of, like, mess around with a little bit. But in Bellator, man, I mean, Ed Ruth luckily has bounced back and recently won. Neiman Gracie's got a fight coming up. But who else are you going to fight? Are you really going to run it back with Roy McDonald and have the trilogy? No. I'm not sure, but I think John Fitch may have retired. Korshkov, I mean, I think he just took a loss to Larkin. I suppose Larkin might be the one, but I just don't think the Bellator guys should clown each other like that. I think build up your opponent and go, you know what? That would be a cool fight, and fuck it. Book it, Bellator. I want to go to London and kick his ass in front of the home crowd. You know, something like that. Like, get things started, because
you got to get the ball rolling.
I saw one of these guys throwing around Wembley. Wembley's a 90-seat stadium. That's the one that had Klitschko and Anthony Joshua. That's where they have the FA Cup final. That's hosted a World Cup final. The fans will come if it's a great sporting event, but build it. Don't disparage, because you guys just aren't the UFC. You need to build each other up in a way. And then once the card is built up or whatever, then start saying what you're going to do to them and getting fans hyped up or whatever, because I just think you guys have a different route to take over there at Bellator. But anyway.
I think if you're MVP, though, like, you're right. The first thing we're going to say is, who is this guy he fought? But if you're MVP, you don't have very many choices. That's who they put in front of you. So what you have to do is annihilate that opponent. And it's kind of what he did. You know, that he probably did the best with that situation that he could have. But Bellator, I mean, you've heard Michael Venom Page speak up. You've heard other fighters speak up. You've heard the media, the fans. 2020 cannot be the same as 2019. He's really, really got to step it up even more this year.
Here's what I would do, Goes. I would book Larkin versus Douglas Lima. And on that same card, I would book Page versus Daly. I know that Page is probably like, no, man, that ship sailed. It kind of did, except he didn't look that great when he beat Daly. Daly argues that he won, but I think it was pretty clear Page, of the two, was able to rack up the most points to impress the judges. But I still think part two would not suck. I think these guys would actually throw. They would want to show that, hey, I am the superior striker. So I think you have, again, card insurance for the main event and a nice, sexy buildup, a big spotlight on 170. Get that done. I think that's the way you do that and run those four. Neiman Gracie's, you know, like I said, he's got a fight coming up. I think he's fighting in Hawaii. Ed Ruth just bounced back. And I think you start to warm up, you know, those other guys. And obviously you put Rory McDonald against somebody. But this is one of the divisions that can help carry you. This one, featherweight, that's one of the ones that's got some quality opponents. Feature it.
Well, MVP only has the one loss, and it's to a guy that we all think is kind of a stud right now.
Right.
So what I don't understand is, if he were to suffer a few losses, I would still want to watch him. You know, like Conor McGregor.
Yeah, he's kind of fun.
You still,
man,
watch him, right? It's really what you make of the matchup. It's how you promote it. And he's got an exciting style, so I don't understand why we need to coddle him. I know that's not what he wants, so just throw him in there and he's gonna win some, he's gonna lose some maybe, but just get him out there at this point.
Yeah, I agree. All right, Stipe Miocic, did you catch this guy on College Game Day riding the wave?
Yeah,
and crowd surfing. He did pretty good.
It's pretty fun,
and it was perfect timing. It was, you know, Ohio State related. He's a big Ohio guy, more specifically a Cleveland guy, but hey, close enough. Columbus, Ohio is in between Cincinnati and Cleveland. And, you know, Ohio's not a big state, but still it's kind of like right there in the middle. So good enough. But I like seeing that stuff where fighters from a particular town or state cozy up to everything that surrounds it. And he's done a great job with the Indians, the Cavaliers a few years ago. That's how you do it, folks. Every town, I think, has something out there that you can be a part of. I loved when Jorge Masvidal spoke to the Miami Hurricanes. Now he's kind of a regular on the Dan Le Batard show on ESPN, which is filmed in Miami. That's the stuff I like to see. Goes, those are the people that rally behind you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I can't figure Stipe out, though, because I love when he does things like this. I love when he jokes around, because he's actually pretty funny when you talk to him. What I don't like is when he kind of crawls into a shell and doesn't want to be talked to, doesn't really understand why media ask him certain questions. That side of Stipe I don't like. This side of Stipe, I feel like fans, he would make a lot of fans, a lot of people would gravitate to him because of these type of things. And that all translates into dollars. So I hope that he does this a little bit more. I hope he keeps it up because it really is an awesome thing, especially, you know, for a city that I think sometimes needs that, right?
Right. And you know what? I think as I think about that division, I really like, once again, since it's going to be Miocic and Cormier, in my opinion, that's why you see Ngannou a little bit heated. Dana White feels like that's something he wants to do for Cormier, and as long as they both are ready to go and healthy, I think it'll be run in the spring. I want to see Ngannou as a co-main event on that card. I want to see spotlights on divisions and main card insurances, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? And a lot of these divisions that we're talking about as of late, and we're going to talk about another one here in a second, I just think that's the way you run it, man. I've seen a lot of these cards play out over the years, and I would love to see that. Now, who that might be, I don't know, but that Volkov, you know, he just got a nice win. Make it him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Lewis, he did bounce back with a win. I guess Ngannou could go, man, we had one of the ugliest ones ever. How about me and the Beast? Run it back and let's throw down. That's the same way we were saying Page and Diggley can't possibly suck two times in a row. I feel the same about Ngannou and Lewis.
Yeah, I like when they match up two fights like that. I think it's, at worst, let's just say something were to happen and one fight breaks off, then yeah, you have insurance. But even if both fighters do show up and something comes out of it, it's just helping promote the next fight. It keeps it fresh in people's minds, and I think it works.
Yeah. Here's something that I like. UFC champ Zhang Weili believes Rose Namajunas is toughest test at strawweight. Now, I just finished saying, George, how can you like that if she's disparaging an opponent? Because what she's doing is indirectly disparaging probably Joanna, who's next for Weili.
Uh-huh.
But she's not saying she sucks or she needs to go out get out of the win. She's just saying something nice about a fellow strawweight. So I think that's going to cause a little bit of friction. I know Joanna's going to fire back at Weili, but I think I like the way that one's slowly being built up. And plus, I don't think Rose has done anything to deserve the next shot. You know what I mean? She doesn't fight frequently, and she's. I don't think she's just in that position, honestly. But here we go again. Let's see Weili Zhang versus Joanna Jędrzejczyk, and let's see the return of Rose Namajunas on the same card. What do you think of that?
You know, the more and more I think about it, I love it when that happens, but I can understand maybe the UFC is looking at that situation and they're saying, well, but we have these fighters that we're throwing on these co-main events as insurance are fighters that could headline other cards, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you come to a new city, let's just say, like, you know, when they announce Raleigh, these are probably names you want to hear at the top. They're names that could headline a card, and maybe the UFC looks at it as what we really need are main eventers, and we're kind of getting rid of some of them by putting them as co-main events. Like a Francis Ngannou can headline a card. He's done that before, you know? So mm-hmm. I guess I see both sides of it.
Mm-hmm.
But in this particular case, I mean, it's hard to hate. It just
like wouldn't you want to see sense. Jessica Andrade and Rose run it back?
Oh, yeah.
Rose is doing good against Jessica mm-hmm. before Jessica did the slam herd around the world. But I'd love to
really
see
really well against Jessica.
Those two fight again. And the winner, I mean, like that, there'd be a lot of pressure on both ladies. The winner has a great claim to fight the winner of Weili versus mm-hmm. Joanna. Whereas if you put them like kind of on separate branches and they fight different opponents, I don't know that there's as much pop for whoever wins. I mean, both chicks can be pretty spectacular at times. But I sometimes like putting two fighters coming off a loss against each other because no one wants to go 0-2 in their last two. You just really lose a little bit of star power. And I think that's when you can get a pretty exciting fight. Some will tell you, yeah, but they're also a little bit conservative. They don't want to lose, but hey, I'll take my chances.
It's a very difficult situation when it comes to Rose Namajunas because there's times where Rose, I don't want to say checks out, but I don't know that she loves fighting the way other people do. I think she genuinely at times feels bad hurting another opponent and just the emotions that go into fighting. Sometimes I think she just needs time to get away and do her own thing. So I don't know if you want to completely toss her back into the fire that way
mm-hmm.
because who knows what happens if she suffers another loss, especially if it's as devastating as the last one. We won't know where she's going to be at mentally. So that's just kind of like that fine line I think that the UFC has to walk sometimes with certain fighters, and she's definitely one of them.
Claudia Gadelha has been rebooked versus Alexa Grasso, UFC's January 18th event. That's UFC 246. So I like that matchup. What do you think?
it's tough because Claudia Gadelha, for me, she's a very fun fighter to watch. I like her style. But sometimes it just depends on who you match her up against. It's just not the most entertaining of styles. And I don't know if that's maybe the switch between camps and trying to mold her into something that she isn't. I don't know. But there's just times where some of the fights just aren't really as interesting. On paper, it's really hard to hate that. You have two really good girls fighting that night. Two good styles just together. I don't know how it's going to work out. But if you're going to roll the dice, roll them on two fighters like that.
She was going to fight Cynthia Calvillo on December 7th, which will be the next UFC event, the one that's happening out in Washington. But that injury wasn't serious enough that it's going to hold her out too long. So now she's got this booking that we mentioned versus Alexa Grasso. I'm feeling it. And Marina Rodriguez has stepped in, and she's going to be fighting Cynthia Calvillo. So Cynthia's still on the fight card out in December. So it's kind of nice to see like a next
flip-flop them, though.
It's, well, I don't know. Because
that would be a lot of fun.
Marina Rodriguez is 12-0-1, so she's no joke. Mm-hmm. But what I like is these are the girls that are going to pressure Jessica and Rose. Like, hey, you can't take too much time off because of us four, two of us are going to get wins. And these are all names, man. I'm telling you, the UFC strawweight division is awesome. I love it. Yeah. It's got depth. It's got personalities. And, you know, a lot of talent. So, especially a lot of worldwide talent. You got a Polish girl, a Chinese girl, a Brazilian, some Americans, a Mexican. I mean, it's maybe third or fourth of my favorite divisions, just regardless of gender or whatever. You know, I'm a big fan of the welterweights and the featherweights. The lightweights just never disappoint. But I think this one's creeping up for me.
Close your eyes, though, and picture Grasso and Calvillo and what that fight would be like.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Hell yeah. Okay. I feel you. Well, maybe it'll happen at some point. Jared Gordon. Did you know that this guy broke his orbital bone?
Mm-hmm.
I did not know that, man. In the fight versus Charles Oliveira, I saw the fight, and I remember thinking, oh, wow. I felt like there was some glancing strikes. I just didn't know that that's what had happened. Jared Gordon was standing there, and he was disappointed. And I remember thinking, like, you know, just thinking about the stoppage for a moment, but I didn't know the severity of it. And this is one of those that really sucks for the fighter, man.
Yeah, just pain-wise in a fight, I know it's one of the worst. There's certain things, like, you can fight a fight and have a broken bone, and you don't even realize it until you get to the back and all the adrenaline wears off. This is one of those injuries where instantly you feel that pain. You know right away what the hell is going on, and it has a very long recovery process to it. So it's a dangerous thing, and I hate when it happens. I mean, hopefully he takes the time to let that strengthen so that he can come back. And it's just, you know, it's a place that when you come back, it's basically a target. You know, it's gonna get hit again. And you see certain fighters like Josh Koscheck's one guy wins. That he always kind of just would flick his fingers in that direction anytime he got hit, because I think it was just so painful.
Jay Haran had a little bit of a tick with his nose as well.
Yeah, he would kind of do this with his nose.
Yeah, and I think I saw Rory also have some concerns up until about a year and a half ago. Same thing. I would see the same from him. But guess what? This is Gordon's second orbital bone injury. In 2015, he broke the other one. Ugh. Now, I said that one, the 2015 one was worse. But either way, he does have to undergo surgery tomorrow, so we wish him the best. We had him here in studio, remember, with Paul Felder not too long ago?
Mm-hmm.
And this was one of actually probably our last interviews under the old Junkie Radio format when we were on Sirius XM. But I thought that dude was really, really cool. And, of course, he's got an incredible story of the remarkable turnaround, because he fought, you know, demons years ago, and he's had a rough life.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. So how about Floyd Mayweather? He announces his retirement. He's sitting next to courtside with Dana White at a Lakers-Boston game. Go Lakers. And, you know, where do you start? For one, the Zuffa goddamn boxing. When's it going to start? Because if it started, then we'd know, oh, well, maybe Floyd and Dana are going to do something there together. You know what I mean? So, of course, the first thing I think of is an MMA fighter will go to boxing and fight Floyd.
That's your first intuition?
That's my first intuition. Okay. Floyd ain't fucking fighting MMA. He can say he wants and go to Syndicate and take pictures. That's not happening. I don't think we need to see Conor again. That's ridiculous. I don't fucking care how rich both guys can get or the UFC can get. It's stupid. I guess the next guy's Khabib Nurmagomedov and Ali Abdulaziz, the agent of Khabib Nurmagomedov, had stated that I guess some conversations were going and maybe this thing was going to be serious. Out there in the Middle East, man, there's some money, and I guess there's some rich people that'll pay to see spectacles. You know what I mean? The only reason I would hate on it, goes, is I need to see Khabib versus Tony first.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Then that go fill your pockets.
Definitely has to happen.
Then go fill your pockets.
But, you know, the thing with Floyd Mayweather, the fact that he's undefeated, the fact that he's going to go down as one of the greatest boxers of all time, you're always going to have opportunities because people are going to want to pull you out of retirement. Well, why the hell do you think we're on so many Rocky movies, right? Like, the fight with Tenshin out in Japan, like, mm-hmm. he got a great paycheck for virtually doing the most ridiculous thing of all time. I mean, just size-wise, they weren't even in the same ballpark. He'll always have money thrown at him, but I don't think he would ever do any sort of MMA, whether it's mixed rules or whatever. I just don't see him doing it. So for me, I feel like the only thing that can possibly make sense is Zuffa boxing. And if that's the case, then yeah, those guys are jumping in head first there. I remember when we had the tour of the Apex Center, I think that was one of the first questions that was asked was, is this going to be sort of a hub for Zuffa boxing? Are you going to see a lot of those cards? And Dana did say yeah. And he did say very soon we're getting
that's
there.
That's that Tuesday night stuff, though, right? Like, it's not going to feature a world championship.
I don't see Dana White coming in and only doing something
when's
like that.
When's the first event, by the way? That's what, at least three months it's been open. It started in June. So what, July, August, September?
I have to imagine that if I had to put
on half a year.
If I had to put my money on it, I have to say the first thing that's going to happen is an Invicta. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I'm waiting for it, man. I'd really love to see it. Hey, shout out to our site coordinator, Randy,
yeah,
from San Francisco.
Very
cool. Who, well, let's keep it somewhat private. He and Invicta will be working together. There we go. Mm-hmm. I think we can say that.
Yeah.
I better be careful there. But he's a really, really good friend of the show. Okay. So let me tell you something. Over at Bellator, I told you the results with Michael Page versus Giovanni Melillo. It was a first-round KO. One punch, boom, got him. Fabian Edwards defeated Mike Shipman. And Soren Bach defeated Terry Brazier. Now, one fight card that's close to our hearts. Out at Joint Base Langley Eustis in Newport News, Virginia, Mike Rhodes defeated Najim Wali to win the vacant lightweight title. R. John Morgan was on the call, along with CM Punk and Jessica Penne. Tafone Nwiki defeated William Knight. Keith Bell defeated Chandler Cole. Jillian DeCourcy defeated Katie Perez. Christian Leonard defeated Duwan Evans. Great to see the troops cheering on and watching MMA fights. There is incredible synergy between the military and the sport of mixed martial arts. We've seen it up close, so we're happy that this took place. And shout out to Goz. He kind of started this. A colonel on the Air Force side once said something along the lines of, man, I'd love to see fights take place out here at JBLE. So Goz helped get the wheels in motion. That's why LFA was out there last year, and this is why CFFC was out there this year. So good job, guys.
Thank you. And if you look at that card, I mean, the one thing, there's some sort of magic on that base because every time fights take place there's a lot of finishes. And if you look at that card, there was a ton of finishes. So great night and good for them. I mean, you're right. There is a lot of synergy there between mixed martial arts and the military. They love their MMA there, and I'm glad that they got a chance to have it there.
Mm-hmm. Michael Chiesa and RDA are headed for Raleigh. I think that's a good enough fight to just throw out there and tell people, hey, if you're in Raleigh, that's a solid matchup. I really like that matchmaking. And lastly, we'll close with this, goes. This week in MMA, no UFC, no Bellator, no ONE Championship, no PFL. However, WXC 84, Warrior Wednesday 9, is taking place on Wednesday on the UFC Fight Pass. I'm only going to tune in because Austin Tweedy's a cool name and Ty Clark is a pretty cool name as well. These are lightweights. Mm-hmm. Great division. But we have 8-1 versus 8-0. And right away, that tells me these kids are doing work. So I will definitely tune in. But that's actually the only event that I see out of the major organizations this week, which is obviously a holiday week.
Yeah, Thanksgiving. I mean, Thanksgiving's going to play a lot in there. And yeah, you're right. Tweety is a kind of a cool name. Can you name another Tweety?
Yes, from the movie Bad Boys, the original Bad Boys, right?
He had a good street fight record, too, I think.
Yeah. Shut up, assholes. That was Tweety,
that
right?
That was Tweety.
Viking says that.
Uh-huh.
That's a good movie with Sean Penn and Isai Morales and Ali Sheedy. Check it out. It's the original Bad Boys, not the one with Will Harris. Will Smith and
Martin Lawrence.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, they just finished filming the new one.
Right? Yeah, I'm not hating on that franchise. By the way, I like it. You know, funny. But this one was really, really good. It's old school and. Sure, it's dated. If you go back and watch it, there's a chance he may give me the Frank Mir face or the roll of the eyes and go, man, that wasn't that good. But at the time, that's what filmmaking was like. So, yeah, beat it if you don't like it.
Beat it, nerd.
All right, so that's it for today. We will be back one more time before Thanksgiving, so we'll hold off on all that. Thank you all again for the outpouring support for our friend Steve Straub. Very close to Goz and I. It's been a long week for us. Actually, today was his funeral and burial, so... again, this is another show dedicated to him. He was mentioned a lot during Tag Radio Days, and I know during Junkie Radio Days his name came up a lot, especially when we used to do Stun Gun Mondays. I think was a victim of quite a few.
He had the record.
That
I
was
believe.
A great dude, man.
I remember. I think we lost count. I got 9 or something like that. I remember we used to keep track of it, but yeah, I mean Tag Radio, for what about a year and a half was actually recorded in his brother's home, Jason Straub's.
Yeah.
So yeah, the name came up quite a bit.
Shout out to the Straub family. Folks, we are out of here. Hopefully you enjoyed today's episode. Please share it. And don't forget to follow us on social media at MMA Junkie George for me on Twitter and Instagram, at The Goz for Goz for Twitter and Instagram, and at MMA Junkie Radio for the radio show on Twitter and Instagram. Go out there and be a champion.